Hello and welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm Pete Brooker, and on this episode I'm going to talk to Simon Whittaker, CEO of Master Debonair. And Master Debonair is about being effortlessly stylish, bringing together a collection of clothes and accessories for the modern British gentleman. They are a family independent menswear clothing retailer with classic values, great service, quality clothing and exceptional customers. Master Debonair originated in the northeast of England and was born of people who wanted styles with a little twist, something a little different from the high street mass-produced styles. And you can find out more about the brand and also shop the look through the website at masterdebonair.com. And here is Simon to tell the story of Master Debonair.
Well, as my dad used to say, long story short, because I'll go on to how sort of Master Debonair came about. I lost my dad in November 2015, quite suddenly. He was only 64. He was a very dapper chap, independent financial advisor. He'd always go into work, he'd always have a three-piece suit on. So I really always loved like his style. And when I look back at the old photographs when I was younger as well with him, he always dressed really well. And like I say, he talked a lot about his clothes and stuff like that. So when he died, I was actually, when we were planning to go to the funeral, I didn't want to just go in a black suit, black tie, that kind of thing. I wanted to look for some accessories. So something a little bit different. So pocket square, tie clip, lapel pin, that kind of thing. And so I went all over and I went over to Newcastle. We're based in East Bolton. We live and work in East Bolton. And I went over to Newcastle and I couldn't find anything. Eventually, I went into one of the big brands and I've still got the pocket square, the tie clip and the lapel pin there. But it just didn't really, I was a bit disappointed. And I just really wanted to add some pieces for his funeral. And I'd always wanted, I talked for many years about setting my own business up. I'd worked in a number of companies over the years in sales and marketing. So I had quite a successful career in sales and marketing and was sales director in my previous business, which was a huge organization, global business, turned over £400 million. So really good career. But I always wanted to do something like on myself. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, how about I set up a business and we saw some tie clips, lapel pins, pocket squares, that kind of thing. Like I mentioned before, a lot of experience in sales and marketing, but never run my own business. Always loved clothes. Always wore three-piece suits at work. If it was dress down day, my dress down day was, you know, a waistcoat, blazer, shirt and tie with a pair of jeans. That was kind of my dress down. And that's how it really started. It was because there wasn't anything out there in the marketplace that I just thought was a little bit different. So I sourced those things, some accessories, and it kind of snowballed from there. I ended up building a website, which I'd never built a website before. So I built that from scratch. And we found a supplier. We ended up going to Moda, which was the old trade show in Birmingham, which is no longer going now. So this was in early 2016, and found a couple of suppliers for suits, shirts, and shoes, and it kind of snowballed. That was it. I built a website. I went to the bank. I went with a business plan, and then I don't think they'd ever seen such a comprehensive business plan that I put forward for sales of £10,000 a year that I was forecasting. But because of my experience of putting together a sales budget of 20 million, it was easy to put together that kind of sales budget. Borrowed some money, and we went. The website went live late. I think pretty much the last day of February 2016, and we just instantly saw sales. I knew social media was going to play a big part in Master Debonair. So we'd built up some great traction on social media with the brand already. So we launched we launched Master Debonair on social media around about the December 2015 time, and just really posting some looks that we really liked, and it just went crazy. You know, we just got a relatively big following, about 5,000 likes on Facebook pretty much straight away. And that helped build up the launch to the website. So that was right. that was from day zero to launch day in February. So very quickly, from my dad dying in November 2015 to launching in February 2016.
Wow. Okay, great. And the stores. So we have two stores open currently. When did the bricks and mortar start to come along?
Yeah, well, I mentioned before, I'd always wanted to set a business up, and I always wanted a shop. My background in marketing was more digital marketing. But I did work with a lot of sort of omni-channel retailers as well in different sectors. And the bricks and mortar really interested me, and I love places going to, whether it was hotels or restaurants, where it was more destinations and something a little bit different. I remember going to the Hospital Club in London and thinking, wow, that's a different hotel, you know, places like that. And I kind of wanted a coffee shop. You know, if anybody follows me on social media, I don't talk about anything else other than clothes, coffee, and my dogs, my three Rottweilers. My family, unfortunately, even though I love them, don't get a look in. It's those things. And I always wanted a shop. I'd always worked business to business, so never business to consumer. But I always wanted that great shop environment. And we looked around in our village, I mentioned before, East Bolton. And there's not too many shops here at all. You know, there's a couple of parades of shops. And we've got sort of Newcastle 6 Mile, and we've got Sunland 5 Mile. So we're bang in the middle of that. What was a little bit of a struggle was getting suppliers, because they looked on a map and thought, well, you're in a little village. Why were we selling to you as a retailer? Anyway, we found a shop, and again, no history of shop design or shop fitting. And with my wife, she's kind of the creative arm of the business. It would be white walls if it was down to me. Where there's like, when I came in, when it was being designed and built, it kind of, there's grass, like, you know, on the walls and all kinds going on. And that was it. So it took about 6 weeks to convert from quite a clear shop, and it was only 800 square feet. But at the time, we were more worried about how we're going to fill it with products, and we were opening, and because with social media, we'd built that much of a presence online. On the Saturday when we opened, we were still painting the skirting boards, you know, kind of midnight on the Friday, or on the Saturday, should I say. And we didn't have any stock in. I was barcoding our stock at home, and we didn't get any stock into the shop on the Saturday at 6 a.m. And it kind of, again, it just went very quickly. It's been the same throughout our trading history, where we found a shop, and then 6 weeks later, we're in a shop, and I'm serving customers in a shop. And that's how it came about. But it was so busy on the first weekend. You know, we couldn't believe it. People were traveling from London and Scotland and all over the place, because they wanted to come to the shop. Wow. And it was just crazy. I'll go through the shops. Chesterfield, we actually moved into Chesterfield not long before COVID hit, actually. So we moved in there November 2019. We did have a shop in Spitalfields, but COVID, we had to close that because the city was just pretty much dead. Chesterfields, we've since moving into the original shop in November 2019, we actually moved locations to a bigger shop. So I'm actually sat in our private showroom in East Bolton. We needed that kind of whole Master Debonair feel in the Chesterfield shop as well. The original shop was more of a showroom plane, where we're really trying to develop the brand, and we'd launched casual wear as well as formal wear. So we really wanted to house all our products in Chesterfield as well. And in East Bolton now has gone from 800 square feet in the last 5 years to 2,500 square feet. We've now got a three-story building, which I'm sat in now, and we knocked through from the original shop, so two terraced houses, So we've got two terraced houses now. So it's kind of, it's evolved from there. So we really started off, we were really known as the suit shop. But there's much more that's come along in the last 5 years.
And where do you source the fabrics and who does the designs? Maybe you can talk a little bit about the clothes.
Yeah, we don't. We did launch our own brand in terms of formal wear just before COVID hit, which was probably wasn't a good time. But again, you know, we were sourcing fabrics. We worked with a UK-based company as well, who works with a lot of the multiple retailers. But we mainly, when we started, I've always had a particular look. We always get kind of quoted as Peaky Blinders, and I've still to this day not seen Peaky Blinders. I think I should probably watch it. You see, I actually went to a Peaky Blinders charity night, and I had to Google search how they dressed, and I was like, all right, okay, I see the comparison now. We've always, like that, I've had a distinctive look, so it was more about sourcing existing brands, to be honest, less well-known brands who are probably very well-known now in the independent retail channel. So we've gone from sort of stocking existing brands more into our own brand, and then we've gone back to existing brands again purely because of COVID. But we've got a very distinct look. If anybody comes along for a plain suit, we have got plain suits, but we do tend to send them off to the likes of other retailers who are more. We talk about being differentiated by detail. Our right. products have to have detail. But we work with all UK-based suppliers.
And it's made to measure? People come in for suits and made to
measure? No, it's not. We have just launched our custom tailoring service, and that has done extremely well. We launched that when we came out of the first lockdown in June 2020. We're in 2021 now, aren't we? And we've done very well with that. So guys coming in, choosing the fabrics, choosing the fits, choosing the finishing, and that's been a really good service that we've launched. But we predominantly our business is off the peg. But right. we do have our own in-house tailoring service. So we've got tailors in house. I always thought that was extremely important for us, because one thing that I'd recognised when we'd set the business up, and very early on, that there was a lot of guys coming to us who, you know, we always get, do you do anything for the big guys? And actually, they're not big; it's average sizes. And I think because they see with other retailers, kind of, you know, a slimmer maybe demographic. But with the tailoring service, we can, like, you know, whether it's taking blazers in, cuffs in, we've reconstructed blazers. We've actually made blazers from two blazers and taper and everything else. So we've got some phenomenal tailors in-house. But yes, we've also got our custom tailoring service.
Interesting. And then the tailoring in-house, does that provide a bespoke service? So you've got cutters inside?
No, they certainly can. They could make a full suit, but we outsource that. So right. we do work with our partner. So we will take all the measurements and everything else. But the guys can certainly, if I ask them to make me a suit, they could absolutely make me a suit. And it will be extremely special. Not plain.
Well, it's a lot of fun following you on Instagram. I mean, so many great looks on there, and people, and it's you're very front of house with everything. I mean, on the website,
I didn't want to be, if I'm being honest. It just happened to be that way. When we launched Master Debonair, obviously we weren't using models. We weren't using external photographers or anything, or in-house photographers. It was myself, my wife, and a couple of members of part-time staff who, you know, we were using an iPhone. We were using an iPhone for our website photographs. And you know what? Like, the website in its first year turned over something like £100,000. You know, so this was without using professional photography. And you know, we've kind of, we've gone full circle a little bit, and probably due to COVID, where I think our customers love to see normal people.
Yeah.
And you can obviously tell by my accent, you know, I'm from the Northeast. I'm a very down-to-earth person. This kind of, we're not pretentious or anything. I do reply on social media. I do keep an eye on things. It just naturally, I was front of house for a long time. And then we brought our in-house marketing team, and we were outsourcing things and we're bringing models. But with COVID, we've actually gone back to basics. And I've had to be front of house for the last 10 months because obviously, you know, we've really had to be careful with any kind of photo shoots or anything like that. But what I've learned is that people just resonate with me as well. But we also, we get the staff involved now. When we came out of the first lockdown, you'll see more of the shop staff. And that's important because a lot of people who follow us on social media, and we've got a great engaging following, you know, who, you know, we're on first name terms with everybody. And they like to see the likes of Rob and Abu and Lou and Gail and Callum in Chesterfield and Naomi and people before this. So they'll do the research on social and then they'll come into the shops and it's almost like the nose before they come in.
Yeah.
And I like that. So we'll probably use, we've took the decision to use less models, but more friends of Master Debonair. So people who we love and people who love the brand.
Yeah.
And do it that way. And it means we all get to enjoy it and we all like each other kind of thing.
Yeah. I guess it feels like a community that everyone kind of knows. And
yeah, it is.
I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a gentleman called Philip Start, who runs Mr. Start down in London.
Yeah.
Shoreditch.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And I said to him pretty much the same thing. I think there's a great demand for this kind of accessibility where you see someone that's doing the photos Definitely. Themselves, the Instagram yeah. videos themselves, and whether it's budget yeah. requirements or whether it's COVID or whatever it is, it just yeah. feels like there's a deeper connection because you're kind of relating to the everyday person and it's their brand and it's they're passionate about it.
I think it's important to because, you know, I talk a lot now about the products actually being secondary. You know, our strapline is outfit and self-confidence, and that's what it's about. But it's also about, I try and get across, you know, where and how I wear our products, and you know, that mix of whether it's formal wear or casual wear, smart casual. But I think it's important, you know, I learned a lot from when I was working in digital marketing as well, and followed a lot of brands, and when I was, I'm actually teetotal now, but when I was drinking, one of my favorite brands was the Caledonian Brewery, so Duker's Real Ale, based in Edinburgh. And it was crazy with them. So they actually invited me up for my 40th birthday, I'm 48 this month, my 40th birthday up to the brewery, and looked after me and gave me a tour. And I took that, and I thought, that's what I want at Master Debonair. I want people, customers, to come in and be like, is Simon in today? And I've always, if I'm here, you know, I've always got the time of day. And like I say, I'll be up till midnight replying to some people. Some people follow me on my personal social, and I'll help them that way. And I just think it's important. So like we do share content where it's like it's me out for a coffee or the guys out for a coffee, me cycling or whatever, because ultimately our customers are real people who do all these things as well.
Yeah.
And it's a bit more exciting than just clothes, you know. It's good to have that, but you know, it's just getting more involved with the brand.
Yeah, it gives it a narrative as well.
Yeah.
I got a question from Craig, our editor. He wanted to ask you, do you think there'll be an uptick in tailoring once we come out of lockdown? Do you think people will feel the urge to start dressing up and paying more attention to clothes again?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, obviously, we've been like every retailer, massively in the clothing industry, hospitality, and everything else. But yes, I do. I think there's a real appetite, and I go off. You know, I'm not just. I tend not to base things just based on my thoughts alone. Our customers who I speak to, who contact us. You know, we can't wait. We've already got a lot of appointments in our diary for weddings already. I have no doubt proms will come back on, racing to some degree. once the hospitality industry opens back up again, I do think it's going to be, it's really what I've said for the last 6 months is it's about limping through now, but I think there's going to be such pent up demand for people wanting to go out and enjoy themselves. So absolutely, yes, Craig is the answer to that. Yeah. And I can't wait. I can't wait to get people into the shops again and, you know, and really help them get styled up. So yeah, I do. I absolutely do.
Good news, and I hope so. Simon, do you think with people staying in now or through lockdown for the last year, we're watching a heck of a lot of telly. People are paying more. I know I am. So I'm speaking from experience. I'm paying a lot of attention to clothes that I'm seeing on the telly and thinking, actually, this guy looks the nails in this. I'll see how I can get on that. Outside of Peaky Blinders, have you had any requests of people coming to you and said, look, I've seen this. Can you do something like that?
Not really. See, we ultimately try and create that. I like to push out the one movie that I watched recently, which I really liked. I thought it was quite funny as well. Was The Gentleman?
And the
way they were dressed, I just thought there's some great styles in there. But we tends to be. I think because we've always pushed out looks where it has been a little bit different. So we've gone with a lot of contrast and waistcoats over the years. I like different cuts in waistcoats. So we've ultimately tried to like look ahead rather than anybody coming to us. But there's always something that we can do. If somebody comes to us with a look, the guys, you know, what I've said to the guys who work for us, listen, if you just want to serve a customer, then and not give them advice and everything else, then I would suggest we're probably not the right retailer for you, because our customers come in and they can spend up to 2 hours in the shop. You know, you can come in the shop and you can kind of hang out. We've put mobile phone charging stations in and seating areas and all kinds. But we will go through, you're almost getting, we have launched a one-to-one personal styling session as well, but you almost get that if you want it when you come in the shop.
So we do get, and
that's why the custom tailoring service was important as well, because guys do come in and say, listen, I want an orange waistcoat. Have you got one? Well, no, we haven't. But guess what? We can with the custom tailoring service. So, yeah, I do think we're going to get a lot. We always get people coming into the shops, getting the phones out and showing us an image we've posted on social media and saying, can I have that outfit, please?
Great.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, it's a great way to leverage social media. I believe it's for brands. Yeah. I mean, when I was working in retail, I mean, it was one of the only ways because, like you, I was running a clothing shop, an independent clothing store in Cambridgeshire, but it was countryside. Yeah. It was in the middle of the sticks. We didn't have any footfall. So digital marketing was the only way we can get any notice out.
Absolutely.
And without like Instagram, you know, and by the way, we were praying for days and like making things out of like pancake day. We're looking ahead in a calendar and go, what can we talk about to get people in? How do we wrap this into some kind of fashion idea? It was all through like the websites and e-commerce.
I love that. There's some great stories. Like obviously with COVID, you still can do click and collect. And we're looking at another shop at the minute that might come off and might not, over in Sunderland. So it's not too far from here, but it's just on the outskirts of a city centre. And I've been looking at it for 2 years and I'm from Sunderland. So I think we'd like to take that on. And there's a lovely little women's wear shop in the place that we're looking at. And they didn't have any social media before COVID, and they had no experience in digital marketing whatsoever. And all they've done is set the Facebook page up, and they've decided to go and do live videos on Facebook. And they said, you wouldn't believe what it's done for their business to get them through COVID with click and collect. Yeah. And they said, you know what? We make loads of mistakes and everything like that. And I'm like, that's brilliant. You're real. No, don't do polished. You know, we've been doing that, and I get wrong for saying the same things all of the time, repeating myself, but you know, that's part of the fun element of it. So it's great for it. I would, with any independent retailers, definitely, you know, advise you don't need to know what you're doing, just test it, get out there, get on social and drive footfall that way when we reopen our shops.
Simon, it's been wonderful talking to you.
Good to speak to you too.
At Master Debonair on Instagram, where people can follow you, follow the journey, and I really recommend that as well. Yeah. There's a great realism with your brand, and also
great stuff.
MasterDebonair.com, the place people can go to shop and have a look at some of the wonderful clothes. I'm just having a look. So Sunderland aren't in Championship either.
You didn't have to mention that, did you?
Sorry, I'll edit that out in post.
We're in the third division.
It just feels like yesterday you were in the Premier League. What's going on?
Thanks. Yeah, lovely that. Thank you. It does, strangely enough. I was watching a clip of something in the Premiership that popped up on social media, and I was like, you've got to be kidding. Hopefully we're going to be taking over soon and blah, blah, blah. We'll be in this division for the next 5 seasons. I've kind of, you know, it's just going to be that way.
Oh, I hope you bounce back up. I miss the derbies. Peter. We need the derbies. We need you.
Yeah, definitely. It is. You know, it's good banter. It is. It really is.
All right, great. Well, have a great night. Thanks for jumping on,
Simon.
You
too. Take care. Thanks very much. See you now. Bye now. Bye.
Thank you, Simon, and apologies for bringing up the stats on Sunderland's league position there. I'm sure they'll be back playing with the big boys sometime soon. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. If you like what you hear, why not leave a review? It does help our egos. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode and all content pertaining to fashion, watches, travel, lifestyle, etc. over at menswearstyle.co.uk. And we're on the social as well, at Menswear Style. If you want to be a guest on the show, tell us about your brand, tell us about your journey. You can email us here at info@menswearstyle.co.uk. And until next time.